Yes!
It's the show.
It is.
Welcome.
And you still haven't come up with a new thing yet.
No, I was thinking about it in that, but I kept coming back to fruit-based ones, so I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to sit down and write a list.
Okay.
Of potential things. I guess we're going to talk about VR again this week.
I guess so.
Have you done anything in VR, Aaron?
I've played some more Elite Dangerous.
Gosh!
That's about it, surprisingly enough. That's about all I do.
Season 4 of the 4th content pack is coming out, is that right?
Yes, yeah, it's coming out in beat at the end of October.
Beyond
Pack 4, or whatever it is.
Pack 4 of Beyond, and tell us, Aaron, what is Pack 4 of Beyond going to reveal?
That's the big one. That's the big part of Beyond.
So this is going to let us play properly together?
Well, you've already been able to do it, but this one brings us squadrons. So we can actually be in the same organisation together in-game. Before, you had to organise it outside the game, have to organise your guilds and things outside the game, but now squadrons is in-game. So you've got wings, which is just you grouping up in-game.
Yep.
And then now you've got squadrons, which is effectively your guilds. So that's quite nice. That's coming in this one. They've pushed back carriers. So the idea was that your squadron could effectively have a carrier, build their own.
I see, like a giant super Star Destroyer.
Yeah. That you could then dock at, and you could use it as your mobile platform, effectively.
Okay. So and that's coming? That's coming in part 4?
No, that was, but they've delayed it. So we don't know when. That's coming next year.
Oh. That's a shame.
Yeah. So
it could mean that you could have that giant supercarrier thing, and I could have...
You could land on it, and if the group has it, then...
I could store my ship on it.
Yes. Or your ships, multiple.
But what happened if it blew up?
I don't know.
Would I lose my ship?
You may lose all of your ships, yes.
I hope you're insured for this.
Well, I don't know. They haven't come up with the details of it yet. They announced it and gave some vague details about it, but they've not given anything past that. As far as I'm aware, at the moment, you can't kill big ships. There's no way of actually destroying them. You can destroy bits of them, but you can't destroy the whole ship. From what I can tell at the moment, so...
Really?
Yes.
Does that not lend to something being really overpowered?
Well, at the moment, you can't own one of the massive ships. Nobody can own one of the big ships at the moment.
Can you get onto one of the big ships at the moment?
You can land on some of them. There's some big carriers that you can land on.
So can you take it over?
No, because you can't get out your ship at the moment. You are a pilot of a ship. The only time you get out of your ship is to go into another ship or to go into your rover. This is... Because that's one of the big differences at the moment between this and Star Citizen, is that this one, Elite Dangerous, is a spaceship simulator, whereas Star Citizen is a first-person simulator.
Mm-hmm.
So... They are planning at some point for you to let you get out of your ship, but that's not anytime soon.
Did you know?
Yes.
Star Citizen.
Yes.
Makes approximately $300,000 a day.
I don't know. I know they're over I think it's over $150 million they've made so far, something like that.
How are they making so much money on a game that's not even out yet?
People are buying ships.
And it's been 6 years in development.
They announced a new ship at CitizenCon at the weekend.
Oh, good.
And I think it's out soon as well.
So oh, what more do you want in life? Yeah, take yeah. take well, 500
half,
quid.
No, no, half... 500? You must be joking. It's probably over a grand. It's huge. No, people have paid thousands of pounds, $500 for ships that aren't even built yet.
People are idiots.
People have just got loads of cash to give away. Because the thing is, what they've said, well, no, I don't think they've said it, but what a lot of the community have said, you're donating to the project. Think of it as a Kickstarter, that you're donating to the project, and as a kickback, you get a shipping game. You're not buying that ship, you're donating to the project. You're just financing this project. It's a cloud-sourced game. It's a cloud-funded game.
It's a Ponzi scheme is what it is.
Not really.
No, it's nothing like a Ponzi scheme.
No, you wouldn't provide so much on a Ponzi scheme. It's
no, it's you would in your eyes. It's far too generous for a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. You might get a couple of stickers and a badge. But no, it's a weird phenomenon. I don't think anything else. There's no space for anything else to do the same thing. This is taking up all of that space. It's probably taken up a lot of space that other games could have used on Kickstarter, to be honest. It's probably you're probably going to be pushing to get any other sort of space sim in Kickstarter at the moment. Because a lot of the people that would be backing space sims in Kickstarter are backing this Star Citizen. And
are they?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of them are. They're backing that, and they're putting lots of money into it. They're thousands and thousands. But if they pull it off, it's going to be great. But we'll find out probably next year, because I think the plan is to get at least the first chapter of the single player game out next year. Because there's two games being developed.
Okay.
There's Star Citizen and Squadron 42. Star Citizen is the MMO game, and Squadron 42 is the single player narrative game. They're both using the same engine, and a lot of the same tech, and a lot of the same assets, because they're both in the same world, effectively. But Squadron 42 is the single player game, so that will be coming out first, because you don't need any of the server tech, you don't need any of the MMO features, the persistence, any of that. It's just going to be a straightforward story game. They don't need a lot of the open world, they'll just pin you into certain areas for the story, so they can get away with releasing that first. And I think the idea is that that will then give them another cash injection for the MMO side. But but Squadron 42 is a fixed price. You basically buy the game and that's the game. I think they're going to do other chapters later on. But when you buy chapter one, you buy chapter one. Or at least, I believe it's only chapter one we're buying at the moment. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't follow that.
I mean, the whole thing is just... it's weird. It's a massive scam, isn't it? It's been 6 years. They're not particularly far through development.
Oh, they're quite far. You can do quite a lot in the game.
Can you take a poo on a space toilet?
No.
I rest my case.
There are space toilets. You can drink coffee. You can eat food, I think. In the new releases that are coming soon, I think. I don't know if it's this release or the first release next year. They've shown it off that any object in the game, apparently, this is why it's taking so long. They keep changing the specs. Any object in the game you can pick up and move to another place and put down, and it will stay there. So if I take this mug off the spaceship, go to a moon, at a random location, drop that mug, and then tell you to go and find that mug on that moon. you can go then and find it. That's the idea behind it. If they get all this tech perfect, everyone will be in the same universe using the same resources.
If.
Yeah, because what they're doing is they haven't developed this bit yet. So
they haven't developed any of it yet.
No, they've got the core engine. They've got a lot of the persistence. They're just doing optimization at the moment.
Alright.
Ship purchases. Finally. So after... by the end of the year, you should be able to buy get ships in-game. So you don't need to buy them with real money anymore.
Okay.
But what that will mean is that every time there is a new patch out, so once a quarter, you will lose all those ships you bought in-game. Because it'll be a world wipe, is the idea. And then you will earn them again. Which makes sense, because they want you to go through the loop again.
Pay money.
No, they want you to go through the loop again and test it again. Because this is alpha. This is not the full game. To be honest, if you want to buy a game, a space game, don't buy Star Citizen. It's not. It's an alpha. It's a early test build.
Oh, I don't get me wrong. I don't want to play Star Citizen at all.
No, you don't.
I
reckon
it looks great. It looks really good. I have just got such an issue with their ship thing.
To be honest,
yeah.
These people that have bought lots and lots of big ships, I don't know how they're going to fly them. The big ships need multiple people to man. So if you're one person and you've bought five of these big ships, you can't even fly one of them yourself. There's a minimum crew capacity on some of these big ships. It's ridiculous. It's pointless you buying more than one big ship. I have one spaceship and a cut R, and that's it. That's all I've got in the game. Because that's all I can fly myself. What I'd maybe say is that if you've got a group of you together that want to create a guild, then you buy a bigger ship for the guild. Because it will take the guild to fly that ship. Because there are minimum crew requirements for these bigger ships. It says on them, minimum required crew, 2 or 3. Even on the big ships, it requires... Even on some of the smaller ships, it requires a couple of people to crew the ship. If you've just got the pilot, that's all you can do. You can fly the ship, you just can't do anything with it. So you can't man the guns, you can't do half the other stuff that the ship can do. So if it's a mining ship, and you've got one person to crew this big mining ship, you can move it into location, then you have to move to another part of the ship to start mining, then you have to move to another part of the ship to do the refinery. You just can't crew the ship yourself. And if people have bought multiple of these, they've just wasted their money effectively. It's not beneficial for them to own multiple of these ships, because they can't fly them. There is talk about you hiring NPCs to fly these ships, but they're saying that there needs to be at least one player per ship anyway. So you couldn't fly your fleet of 20 ships you've bought with real money. You can only fly one of them.
What's the cheapest ship in the game?
The cheapest ship is the Mustang or the Aurora, which I think is you pay £35, I think it is, around there, and you get the game and the ship.
And what happens if your ship blows up?
You get another one. I think that's how it works. So I think what happens is they haven't fleshed it out completely yet, but the idea is that you buy insurance for your ship and then you get your ship back anyway. But if you haven't got insurance, then you can buy back at a discounted rate your ship. If you haven't got the money for that ship, or the minimum buyback, then you have to basically then take other jobs that give you rentals or things like that on the stations and things to then earn enough money to buy another ship in game. Or you could rent a ship, I think it's the idea as well.
I'm just not sold on their business model, Aaron, I've got to be honest with you.
I don't know. Yeah, because on Elite, if you lose your starter ship, then you can just reset your account and you're back with your starter ship again.
Yes. Which seems fine.
Yeah. And what... Something's going off with one of my screens. And what Star Citizen is saying is that if you bought a ship with real money, you will never completely lose that ship. It will always be sort of yours. You may have to buy it again with in-game money, but you won't ever pay the full price again because you've paid real money for it. Because obviously you could take that ship you spent, you know, £2,000 on or whatever it is, fly it out, and as soon as you get out there, some griefer just comes and blows your ship up. Because there's nothing to stop them having a go at your ship, even if you're in right near the dock. The idea is that it'll be like Eve, I believe, and that people can grief you wherever. It's harder for them to grief you in normal space, in secure space, I think, but I don't think it's impossible. The police will turn up quickly and have a go at them, but we'll see. Because that's the same with Elite. Because there was a lot of people sitting by all the starter locations just killing newbies that came along. So they had to do something about that and implement something to get around that. So it's a problem with MMOs. It's a problem with multiplayer games. There's always somebody out there just to grief for the sake of griefing because they've got nothing better to do with their life than just sit there griefing for hours on end. Seems a bit weird, but I guess that's what people do.
People are dicks.
Yes. They've got nothing better to do with their life than sit there messing about and thinking it's funny.
No. Have you tried any Forza this week?
I have. I've played a bit more. It's winter.
Is it winter this week?
Yeah.
So it's not a good week to start the game then, really, I guess.
Well, no, because you'll start off... If you start the game, you'll start off in the tutorial sections. In the starter region, I think you start in summer anyway. So you start in summer and go through all the seasons, I believe, and then it throws you into the persistent world where you are what the season is, whatever that week's season is. So you'll start off in the starting season. So I think it's summer.
I'm with you. I still need to boot up and play it.
Yeah, because we should play together. We should have another go together. It's a game I play when I'm watching something or messing about doing something else or don't want to bother with something.
Right.
I just put it on and play. And, you know, do a couple of races or maybe just discover some roads.
Yeah, I need to give it a go. The other thing that I need to give a go this week is Worlds Adrift.
What's that? Worlds Adrift. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's had a patch, so they've now got PvE servers.
Oh, okay.
Because before you could... there have been several times where I've started and I've just been destroyed.
Yeah,
it's like spawn and die.
Yeah, because that's fun for somebody to do.
Yes, correct. Some 10-year-old somewhere will be laughing.
Yeah, thinking it's super funny and that you're really upset with that. And you've just gone, oh, okay, that's what this game is at the moment. Turn it off, play something different.
Yep. Yeah. Basically. It's a bit like a bully. Just leave them alone.
Just leave them. Go on, you can stand by that toilet all you want.
Take away their toys.
Yep. So, yeah. Yeah, I've not played much else, to be honest. I've played a bit more Polytopia. I've expanded the map. That came as a surprise. Yeah, because you can either have a small map or a bigger map in Polytopia.
I've only ever played the small map.
Because it depends on how many other people you pick on your map. So, yeah, you've got choice of two different size maps. So I picked the bigger map and had a go at that. And I forgot I'd picked them. Because I play a couple of rounds, then turn it off for a while, and then play another couple of rounds, I forgot that I'd picked the bigger map. So I'd wiped one person out. The other person had started attacking me and went, oh, okay, I'll deal with you now. And then all of a sudden I get this attack from the other direction. I'm going, what? There's another faction. Because I forgot I put it on the bigger map. So, yeah, I was fighting a war on two fronts.
Never fight a war on two fronts, Aaron.
No. It worked, though. It was still... I think I was still on normal mode, so it wasn't too hard. I'm going to have to ramp up the difficulty, I think.
Yeah, I'm hovering whether to get Civ 6 on the phone.
Oh, on the phone? Is this the... Is this... Oh, it's full Civ 6, though, isn't it? It's not that mobile one that they were showing
off. It's the full Civ 6 on your phone.
Because there's a mobile thing that they're touting on, isn't there?
That's Civ 6.
Oh, no, sorry, that's Command & Conquer, I'm thinking. Sorry.
Yes, that's Command & Conquer.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's Command & Conquer.
Yeah, I'm sorely tempted at this moment in time.
I don't think I could play it. Not on a phone. It's too small. I could do it on a tablet, maybe. But I really do have a problem.
It's just... I don't know. It does work quite well on the phone, Aaron.
Yeah, it's just not being able to see that much. I do like to be able to see a big portion of the map and be able to strategize across the area. The thought of just seeing a portion of the map at a time and then trying to remember all that different bits of the map and how they're all working together. I just don't think it would be great.
Won't be for you.
No, but I don't play much on my phone anyway.
No, I tend to dip in and out of stuff on my phone. I never find that I can... sort of sit down and really play something.
Yeah, that's why I think Polytopia is fine, but Civ, you're gonna just how long are you gonna take to do a game?
Dunno. The nice thing is it goes with you, right?
Yeah, but if you're only doing maybe one or two turns at a time, if you're only kicking off a couple of turns a day, that's gonna take you months and months to do. It can take days to do a game, even if you're playing it on the PC. Just sat there playing it.
But it's on the phone. It's a bit like the Switch. I'll get it on the Switch.
That's slightly better, because you've at least got a bigger screen.
Yeah, and I can plonk it on the TV.
Yeah. So that might be a more... Because I'd play it on a tablet, maybe. But then I don't play many tablet games because I just don't have the time. You know, 5 or 10 minutes here or there isn't going to allow me to play anything decent on the phone. And I just don't like... I just don't get on very well that often with touch screens, interfaces. Obviously, there's some things that work okay, but a lot of time I like mouse and keyboard, or I like a controller, if it's that way inclined. But yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'll be bothering, but yeah, I'd say Polytopia is good enough for me at the moment.
Polytopia is very, very good.
So I keep playing that. Oh, we tried play Catastronauts, didn't we?
Yeah, that was a catastronopic fail.
Yep, because you can't. You can't use in Steam. Because you can't pass a controller. PlayStation 4 is where you can pass the controller, isn't it?
Think you can pass the controller on Steam. I think it must be disabled for Catastronauts.
Oh, okay. I couldn't. Yeah, because I couldn't see how we did it. Because yeah, you're supposed to be able to get help, aren't you?
Yes.
Which may not work in the same way. Because hopefully you'd be able to pass one of the controllers. So you plug two controllers in and pass one of the controllers over. And then you can play it co-op. But yeah, it didn't work like that. There are other third-party tools you can use, though.
Such as?
I can't... Oh, I did look at one. Prox something or other. I signed up. I can't open my email at the moment, otherwise it will ping, ping, ping. I've had enough pings going off on this machine at the moment. There are a couple of other things that's either stream the controller, so act as a virtual controller, because all they've got to do is act as a virtual controller, and then you stream the video back. You screen share, and then they stream the controller over, and it acts like an X input controller.
Right.
Because all they've got to do is write an X input controller driver that then communicates over the internet. So it's easily doable. Well, if you know what you're doing, of course. I'm not saying I could do it. So it's doable, but yeah, it's also the video streaming and getting the latency down and things like that. So whether it works well is another matter.
Then I think it'll work well.
I think it could work well if it's done right. But obviously these depends whether it's a free or not free method.
Got no idea. What's I going to say? I've been playing. I finished some games this week.
Okay.
I finished Pan-Pan.
Pan-Pan?
Pan-Pan is? Any idea?
No.
I will reveal Pan-Pan. Pan-Pan is a adventure game.
Okay.
Where you control a very grandma-looking character. And you kind of walk around. The trouble is I started a long time ago. From what I remember, the premise of the game is that your balloon has crashed. And you need to try and find a way back off the planet. So you puzzle your way through and you find another balloon and you can leave the planet.
Right.
So that's the basic premise.
Yeah.
And the puzzles are okay. There's... Because there's no talking in the game, everything's done with just like little emotives. So you could kind of work out what people want you to do most of the time, but some of the time it's a little bit odd what the game wants you to do, so there's some logic. But, pardon me, it doesn't necessarily match human logic.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in the real world, if you tried X or Z, it would, you know, X, Y, Z, it would do something.
Yeah.
But in this, because it's not part of what they want you to do, it does nothing.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of that.
Yeah, it can be a bit annoying.
And then there was a few puzzles where it was just a case of process of elimination to work out. Like, there was no rhyme or reason for it to be one way or the other. So there's one to do with turning around a tower. And to turn around the tower, you've got to be at the top of the tower, first of all, which is a progress. It's a progress gate, because you can't get to it until you've got to a certain point in the game.
Okay.
So it's a completely artificial lock to stop you from getting finishing the game without playing all the puzzles.
Right, okay, yeah.
And but once you're up on the tower, you have to turn stuff round, and it doesn't. It just doesn't make sense. Like, there's no. You just turn things until you get randomly the right combination. Or at least that's what I did. I might be wrong. Maybe you know, someone's listening to this. No! There was a very clear thing. But I couldn't see a clear thing. I couldn't work out why it wanted me to do something. And I feel like half the thing in a puzzle game is having that moment. But I felt robbed of my ah moment.
Okay.
So that was Pan Pan. I then started playing Burly Men at Sea, which is a thing.
Right.
Don't doubt me on this one. Burly Men at Sea is a thing, and you play as three burly men. Guess what?
They're at sea.
They're at sea. And it's a really beautiful game. The art style is lovely. It's a very pastel shades of 2D sort of cartoony look.
Sorry, I'm really tired this week.
And you have to drag the telescope, so the view is through a telescope.
Okay.
And you drag it left or right, depending on if you want to move left or right.
Right.
But you can, I think there's basically, you can make stuff happen, but if you go one way, you'll forego the option of going the other way.
Ah, right, okay.
So there's a bit of replayability, I think, in there.
Okay. Is there any puzzly stuff?
Yes, there are. There are puzzly things. So it starts you off nice and gently, and you've got to work out how to escape. I'm not going to say. You've got to work out how to escape something. I can say. You've got to work out how to escape a whale. So
okay.
You get this whole Jonah and the whale scenario, and you get swallowed up. And you've got to work out to get the three of you out of the whale. And there's different ways of doing it from what I can see. So basically, you inside the whale, I'm going to ruin it. Inside the whale, there's three mermaids. Well, not mermaids, there's three girls. Look like girls. Could be men with long hair. They're sat around a fire. And they say to you, you know, there's two ways out of this. You can either, you know, force your way out type thing. We'll find your way out, or you can just wait, and when we reach our destination, he opens his mouth and we can all get out.
Okay.
So again, there's like a fork in the game.
Yeah.
It is available on mobile, I've seen.
Okay.
It is on the App Store.
Okay. Will it be playable, do you reckon?
Will it be playable?
Will it be controllable?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
no, really good.
Okay.
Really, really, really good.
Do you think it's a mobile game that's been ported to PC?
Do I think it's a mobile game that's been ported to PC?
Because there's a lot of those on Steam.
To Switch.
Oh, Switch. Oh, okay.
It's probably just a touchscreen game.
So you don't think it was originally on...
Mobile,
and they thought,
I could look up it
Switch
was released.
Is popular at the moment. Because I know on Steam there's an awful lot of mobile games that have been ported to Steam.
Yeah. Let me have a look on the App Store.
Because a lot of the mobile sort of architectures, the engines, will just run on Windows anyway, because that's how you develop them. So they've just done quick redos on Windows. Because you can just run it in the whatever the development engine it is. So they've repackaged it in the development engine emulator and just run it on Windows. Obviously some people have done the effort of actually putting a real Windows version together. But some of them just... It's obviously a touchscreen that's just not had any work done. You just use the mouse instead of the touch. And just doesn't feel quite right. Because it's designed for touch and then you trying to use a mouse now. Parsec is the tool that apparently you can use to play local co-op games over the internet.
Ah, okay. Burly Men at Sea, sorry, yep. Came out 2 years ago on iOS.
Okay.
So it's very odd.
So that was pre-Switch?
That was well and truly pre-Switch, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, you were saying Parsec.
Yeah, that's what allows you to play a local co-op game online. So it's available on a bunch of tools. We'll have to try it out and see how well it does. See if we can use it to play Catastronauts. And report back. Yeah, it runs on stuff like Raspberry Pi and things. So you could, in theory, run SNES emulators and the like. And then play them online with friends. So that's quite interesting. I'll have to have a look at that.
Let's give that a go.
Yeah, we'll see how we can get it all set up.
I played a new tabletop game.
Okay.
Called Harvest Dice.
Oh, right, yeah, you bought that at EGX.
Yes, it's really good, Aaron.
Okay.
It's nice and light. It's not a particularly heavy game. So I would say most people can enjoy it. You're planting vegetables in your garden. And if you can only plant vegetables... You can plant vegetables anywhere in your garden, which is a grid, on the first round of the game. So the first time you plant a vegetable, you can plant it anywhere. Once you have planted that type of vegetable, you can only plant that type of vegetable next to that type of vegetable. So if I haven't planted a tomato yet, I can plant the first tomato I plant anywhere.
Okay.
Second tomato I plant has to be orthogonally next to the original tomato.
Okay.
And the rows in which you can... The columns are determined by the value on the die. So you roll die of different colours that represent tomatoes, carrots and lettuce. And then you've got to plant them in the row relative to that die. And you take it in turns to pick a die and plant the vegetable. If you can't plant the vegetable, then you can pass... and you can pass the vegetable to your pig. Sorry, you can feed the vegetable to your pig. And by doing that, you get power-ups. And the power-ups, once you have fed 6 points worth, i.e. if you add up the number on the die that you're feeding to it, once you've fed 6 things to a pig, then you can use that pig to change the value of any die by one.
Okay.
So it's got like an auto-balancing thing in it.
Right.
So if your garden's almost full and you can't really put stuff down, then you just end up keep feeding stuff to the pig.
Do those numbers stack then?
Which numbers?
The numbers that you can alter the dice by.
Yes. So if you have 3 pigs powered up, then you could alter it by 3.
Okay.
Then at the end of the game, they're scoring and that's it. So it's not like a very heavy game. But it's really quite fun.
Okay. And there's sounds like there's some depth to it that you could...
There's a nice level of depth to it, yeah. It's a nice one. It's really simple, but at the same time, you've got to pay attention to what other people's boards are and what they're doing. You've got to pay attention to what the dice pool is. The other thing is at the end of each round, there's one die left over. And the colour of that one gets across in the box for that colour.
Okay.
And that acts as a score multiplier at the end of the game. So, you can have loads of carrots, but if carrots haven't actually been left on the board at the end of the game, then there's no multiplier because carrots are worth 0.
Oh, okay.
So there's another layer. It's a really good one. Like, it's a really compact game. Really good. My only concern with it... Oh, it's on Tabletop Simulator. My only concern with it is that the board... It comes with, like, loads of paper pads.
Okay, yeah.
But what do you do when you run out?
Could you just print out more?
don't know.
I assume there's a website.
I don't know. Do you know what? I haven't come down to Google.
Because I guess you could just photocopy them.
Yeah.
But the modern way would be to just download and print out.
Yeah, I need to go find out. I'm sure they'll be. Yeah, someone made a really good point that it should just be, you know, like whiteboard material, whatever it is, dry erase.
Yeah, but I guess that would have cost a bit more to produce.
I don't know. Or they could have released cardboard vegetables and you could have put them on.
Maybe.
Do you know what I mean? There's other ways of doing it.
Yeah, you should use counters instead of modifying the thing, the boards.
Yeah, but it's a really, really satisfying dice roller.
Cool.
It's really easy to play, but there's been several rounds where I've screwed myself, so I've sort of built a wall of tomatoes across my board and I can't build on the other side of it.
Okay, yeah, you get stuck in what you can plant and where. And if all that's coming up, if that's the only vegetable that's coming up, stuff.
Yeah, it's really good. Really, really good game. That's been my game. It's been my game. I don't think I've played anything else. I'm just trying to go on, Aaron, what you're gonna say.
You say, yeah, I've just been getting back into Elite Dangerous, really. I've been trying to get back into that.
You know, I was thinking about Elite Dangerous when I was driving home. My room's not tidy enough to get my joystick out, otherwise I'd start playing it again.
Well, mine just attaches to my chair, so...
Yeah, no, I need the desk space.
I did play a bit more of Donut County, but not enough to say anything. Yeah, that's about it, really. But yeah, I've been watching some streams and things. I'm thinking of streaming Elite Dangerous at some point soon.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to get it right because we were having problems with card life, so I think I'll wait till I've upgraded my CPU and then stream. Because the idea is to get a Threadripper, and then I'll have loads of spare CPU to encode and upload. Because I don't know, maybe I'll get the 12 core, maybe I'll get the 8 core Threadripper. We'll see. 12 core's looking good at the moment.
How much is that going to save that?
It's 330, I think, for the chip. About the same for the motherboard and a bit less for the RAM. Because I need a new RAM. Need a new RAM because it's DDR4, run DDR3, and quad core, quad thread. Rather than dual threaded.
I don't know what to do about that. I'm torn between upgrading the. So I'm torn between sort of February, March next year, about upgrading the PC.
Yeah.
Or just getting an Xbox One X.
Yeah. It depends. Depends how.
It's hard. So the trouble is the VR. So I'll probably end up with the PC.
Because I could get an X, but what am I going to play on it? Because at the moment, my PC can play anything an X can play. But it just can't... It can't stream what an X can stream. Because the X has got the extra circuitry to stream whatever it can render. I don't think you lose anything by streaming, do you, on the Xbox?
No.
Because you've got dedicated stuff for streaming.
Yes. I believe so. I could be wrong.
So, yeah. I don't know. I've got a dedicated card, but unfortunately my motherboard doesn't take extra... If I put another card in, it's going to take up bandwidth away from my graphics card.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's probably not the best idea. So, yeah. So, I need an upgrade. But, yeah, that means all of my stuff will upgrade. So, my video rendering, my video editing... All that sort of stuff will upgrade too. So everything I do on this PC, I'm mostly game on PC anyway. I could get a PlayStation Pro, but it's a waste. I just won't get the benefit really. For the little time I turn a console on. So yeah, I'm sure Forza Horizon 4 will look great on an Xbox One X, but I don't know that it's worth it for one or two games. Whereas if I upgrade my PC, everything looks better. There's so much more I can do on my PC. So
it's a tricky one, I find.
But it depends if you're doing anything other than gaming. If you want to do something other than gaming, then
word processing.
Well, word processing you do on a tablet. You do it on your phone these days. But yeah, if you're doing any, you know, video editing, audio editing, that sort of thing. Possibly not audio editing, because any half decent machine can do audio editing these days. But if you're pushing video files around, you really do need the bandwidth, because it did take me well over an hour to render the Amsterdam interview, and that's only, I think it's only a 20 minute video.
That's a bit of a killer.
So yeah, it did take a long time to render it, so I just need a beefier CPU, because it does offload some of that to graphics, but I'm fairly sure it's still CPU hungry as well. So I need to give it some more power. And just joining the 360 video took ages as well. So the whole process takes a long time to edit those videos, just because I don't have the CPU grunt that I need. So hopefully after this upgrade, I'll be able to get videos out a lot quicker, is the idea. Because we've got a whole heap to go.
How many more have you got to go out?
All of them. I've done one. That's the only video I've done so far. I've got a lot more to do. I've got some audio to do, and I'll do some more of those this week. I meant to do them last week, but my car's been having problems. So I need a new car as well, so that's going to be interesting. Because the car's
What's happened to the car?
Oh, everything. It's just getting to that age where it's slowly... It's just getting more expensive to fix than... Just get a new car. Well, not get a new car. It's more expensive to fix than the car's worth, so it's not worth keeping the car.
Well.
Yeah. So, yes. So it's a new car time. So yeah, I'll get a new car, getting some CPU and memory and stuff, and that'll be good. We'll carry on and get some more videos out and get some audio out. Audio I can do without the upgrade because it's less intensive on my CPU. A bit more time consuming, but less intensive CPU wise, so I'll get that done. Hopefully I'll get some time at lunchtime tomorrow. Because lunchtime I can't really play games very easily. It's a lot of faffing around for 20 minutes of Forza. So if I can do some audio editing, I'll make more use of that time. So I'll get that done. I want to get back into GTA 5 as well at some point. GTA Online.
I just need to finish GTA 5. But Red Dead Redemption 2 coming out, I've still not finished GTA 5.
I've still not finished Red Dead Redemption. I think I got past the tutorial and that's about it.
I finished Red Dead Redemption. I definitely know what happens at the end of Red Dead Redemption, but I can't think of actually... I have definitely finished it at least once.
I'm going to have to watch that, I think.
No, do you know, I don't think I have. Hold on, I'll tell you what. Live on the show, I'm going to go and find my Red Dead Redemption save. And have a little look where I'm up to.
See, mine's on the PS3, so...
I think I'm in Mexico. I think I'm like one little bit before the end of the game.
Apparently everyone, lots of people stopped at Mexico. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about that.
I don't know.
I didn't get anywhere near that, so... I just didn't get on with the shooting, so... Who knows about this new one? Because I've got it pre-ordered, so... We'll see.
Have you on the PS4?
Yeah. Because it's not available on PC.
No.
Because it's Rockstar.
Typically. And I'm assuming it won't have crossplay.
I don't know.
I haven't really talked about the fact that crossplay is now a thing.
Yeah, for Fortnite. It apparently works for Fortnite. But nothing else so far. Oh, and you can change your PSN name as well now.
It's in beta, right?
I don't know. I saw some tweet about it. I thought, that's great. But I bet I still can't change my name. Can you merge accounts yet?
Can you merge accounts?
I bet you can't.
God knows. I didn't even know. Why would you need to merge accounts? Because of your...
Because I've got an Aaron HUK account, but it was a Sony Online Entertainment account.
Sorry.
So that's why I'm Aaron _ HUK on PSN.
Well, there you go. If you want to play with Aaron.
Yes, because I did have an Aaron HUK, but that was my PlanetSide account. And because that was Sony Online Entertainment and they use the same database, I couldn't then use the same ID for my PSN account. Because it was already taken on my Sony Online Entertainment account ID. And now that's Daydream, so maybe it is available. Maybe I'll see if I can register it. Or maybe somebody else has already. Oh! If anyone wants one of these Card Life, please enter our competition from 2 weeks ago. Because we're still running that.
People still have that. Should we put a thing out on Twitter?
Yeah, we can do.
If you want to win it, go and check our Twitter feed. If you're listening to our Twitter feed or reading our Twitter feed and you come for this, then go listen to last week's show for how to win it.
No, it's the week before's.
The week before last?
Yeah. So, six? Something six. I don't know which one it was. It ends in six. I forget what number we're on now. I'll have a look while we're talking. So it's towards the end of that episode. So, yeah, go and have a listen to season 4, episode 36. Is the one you're after, and towards the end of that we specify the Card Life competition. Yeah, I shall tweet out about that, and if you want to win one of the codes, go and enter. You've got a good chance of winning. Thing.
Go and enter the thing.
Yes,
Aaron. I didn't really. There's not really been much news. It's been one of these sort of boring weeks.
No. There's been a bit trickling out. Isn't Paris Games Week coming up? Paris Games
Week. Is it? Yes. Is that a thing?
Yes, it is. Sony made a big deal of it last year and announced some games there, I think, last year. They're not the big games, but they did announce some stuff there. I know it's coming up because the Hamsterdam game's going to be there, so that's why we've got our interview out for that. So they're going to be there.
I'm looking forward to Hamsterdam.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, so Wendy says she's going to be there because I'm on their Discord, so I found out that.
Nice.
So they're off to there. So if you're there. Check that game out. It's quite interesting.
Are there any Kickstarters that you're on at the moment?
No, I'm avoiding Kickstarter at the moment. I'm definitely not touching Indiegogo with a barge pole.
Why?
Because most of the stuff I've backed on Indiegogo has just flopped.
Oh, really? You've had a bad spell?
Well, I think I've backed 4 things on Indiegogo. And the only thing that actually came through has come through so far is the MG, the Kevin Anna thing. They were basically just selling tickets through there for their show, for their get together.
And that's been the only thing?
That's the only thing I think I've received from Indiegogo. I can check it now. There's a couple of projects that are still semi-updating. I think one's definitely disappeared off the market. Let me just have a look, see if I can get Indiegogo to log me in. Right, me, my contributions.
While Aaron is looking at Indiegogo, if you do want to support the show, I think we've got affiliate links. Oh no, the website's down at the moment, isn't it?
No, it shouldn't be.
Website up?
No, it's on the new host now.
New host. If you do want to support the show, you can go to thinflootcast.com/CDKeys and buy keys. If you do want cheap Red Dead Redemption keys on the Xbox, you can actually go to... This won't support the show, but this will get you cheap keys. You can go to MMO... What was that old site that everyone used to use when...
MMORPG?
Yes.
Go
onto uk.mmorpg and you can get the special edition, I think, for $64.99, which is a tenner cheaper than it is on the Xbox dashboard.
Okay.
Which is nice. Better than a slap in the face.
Yeah, so, yeah, Indiegogo, how many did I... Apparently I've only backed 3 projects, and one of them just disappeared. Just took the money and ran.
You serious?
Yep.
That's terrible.
And there's nothing you can do about that. And the other one is a steampunk movie that, in theory, is still coming out. I don't think we've had an update. When was the last update? June was the last update from them. They made a fair amount of cash on it. They made nearly $500,000. But yeah, I don't know. We still haven't heard anything. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that one. So that's the guy still posts comments occasionally on YouTube.
I think,
or Facebook. I don't know, one of them. And I keep checking. And occasionally there's a post or a cell from the video. So it looks like it's being created, but so slowly. It's ridiculous. It was supposed to be out, was it 2 years ago?
I don't know.
I think it was supposed to be out 2 years ago or something. I'm just trying to look it up now, but... They might have taken all the dates off their website because obviously they've not hit any of them. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Because it smashed their targets. They wanted 80,000 and they got 400 and something thousand.
Oh, cranky.
So, yeah, so they smashed it. But when we'll see anything from the movie, I don't know. Well, it's not really a movie. It's a bunch of shorts. But yeah, well, hopefully they'll come out, and we'll see. But yeah, nothing from them yet. So the only one Indiegogo thing I've received anything for was that one thing from Kevin Anna, and I knew that was going ahead anyway. They were just using that to get money for tickets.
So is Indiegogo more variable?
Indiegogo's more about art and creating artworks and things like that than it is for creating tech.
Right.
And stuff that Kickstarter was. I think Indiegogo was around earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've got less strict rules about what you need to have to go on Indiegogo than Kickstarter. Because on Kickstarter there's a bunch of rules that you must adhere to before you're allowed to go on it. So, I don't know. But there have been people that have just run from Kickstarter, so that's not to guarantee that a Kickstarter project will ever see the light of day. It's just
no.
I've had bad press with Indiegogo, so I've abandoned that. Everything I've backed on Kickstarter has either cancelled and given my money back or given me something in return. I think. No. There's a couple that are still outstanding, like Knights and Bikes and things like that. But I've actually been and seen that. So I've seen it played, because I've been to... They were at Rezzed.
Right.
So I actually saw that. And Amsterdam, obviously, I've only just backed that, so that's that. But I think everything else... Oh, Shenmue to 3, of course. That's the other thing that hasn't delivered, but everything else, yeah. My first ever pledge was to Elite Dangerous on Kickstarter, I believe. Yeah, what is it? 2, 4, 6, 7 things I have not on Kickstarter have either been cancelled or failed to meet their target.
It's annoying.
Yeah, but you don't pay for those.
They did. Yeah, but it's still annoying because you wanted
something
to
you wanted to do. Yeah.
It's always the downside of the Kickstarter.
But yeah, the upside is that there's only 3 things that haven't delivered on Kickstarter that I've paid for. Mm-hmm. It's Amsterdam, Knights and Bikes, and Shenmue 3. And both of those 3 look like they're going to deliver quite well.
Yeah, Amsterdam's well into development, right?
Yeah. The mobile touch version, there are levels and things for that. Because it was being demoed at EGX. Knights and Bikes was at Rezzed. Shenmue 3, they're going to release something for that. Whether it's going to be any good, who knows. But, we'll see. Cool.
Yeah, she said really something.
I'm just seeing how much I've paid for Knights and Bikes. Better be good.
How much did you pay?
£40.
Did you?
I got the BFF pack.
What's that one?
I have no idea. It was so long ago. That's another thing. You think. What do we get? Also, I get 2 keys, I think.
I should be getting both the PlayStation and the PC key because I backed it before they announced it was going to PlayStation.
I don't know when I backed it. Supposed to be out in April.
Well, this year?
Yep.
I don't know, it's one of those games they can take as long as they want. It just looks so good.
So we'll have to see. Looks like I might get 2 keys. And get all the art book and all sorts of stuff. I'll get a 2... okay. So I'll get a copy of the game. Get some wallpapers, soundtrack, art book, and an extra copy of the game. Oh, and custom costumes. I get exclusive costumes for my people. Mm-hmm. For being a BFF. Whatever. Anyway, yeah, apparently, yeah. I don't know why I backed that up. But, I did. So, yeah, that's good. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just staying away from it. I can't afford to start backing more projects at the moment. So, we'll see. But, yeah, you up to anything at the moment? Is it just games?
Just games. Nothing too exciting. I'm trying to remember how to play Red Dead, but I literally can't. I'm about to die.
Yeah, I didn't get on with the shooting. Because it was console shooting.
Yeah. But it was designed as console shooting, right?
Yeah. But I just don't get on with console shooting.
Mm-hmm.
which is why when I'm playing GTA on the PC, I have a controller in my lap and mouse and keyboard. So when I'm on foot, I'm using mouse and keyboard. When I'm in a car, I'm using the controller. And I just swap between the two, and it's entirely playable that way. Which is good. Yeah, that's that.
Games. That's that for the show. I'm going to go and play Red Dead, I think.
I'm going to slowly get this up and then maybe edit something else. We'll see.
Fantastic. Aaron, where can people follow you?
I'm at AaronHUK.
I'm at Flyshy, FLESHYY. The entire show's at the Loopcasters. I've been hugely distracted, which has made for a great show, I'm sure. But we'll listen back to it. And we'll remember this one fondly as the show that Dave rediscovered Red Dead midway through the show.
Yeah. Also, the infinitelucas.com obviously is the website. I shall put the link to the episode you need in the competition section of that, if you go there. And I'm going to redo some of the branding on there as well. It needs a rejig after the migration. The new site.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see new branding, Aaron.
We shall see. I shall try and get it up soon.
So until next week. Shall we say bye?
We can say goodbye.
Do you want to say bye?
Bye.
Bye. Bye.